Good evening. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to be with you. It has been a good day. In fact, it's bordering on a great day. From the very beginning this morning, as the Gilberts brought the early morning worship, and he talked about the refiner's fire and being able to have his image in our countenance. And, you know, we see that so many times in the church and amongst different ones that we meet and come in contact with. Occasionally we come in contact with people that we've known for 50 years, and some of them maybe for 45 minutes. But anyway, the Spirit of the Lord has a way of blending our lives together and the love that we have. And this morning, as Jennifer played, the one that particularly hit my heart was, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And surely He is in this place. That song, I think, when it first made an impression on me and me, brought tears down my face. We were in Kirtland Temple, and my granddaughters sang that. They were probably in junior high. And, of course, Grandpa thinks they did a beautiful job, no matter what. But they're very gifted young ladies, and I was very proud of them that day. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the place, because truly the Spirit of the Lord was in that place. In fact, I don't know how many of you have been to Kirtland Temple, but when you walk into that foyer, which is too little, short, not very big, and you realize all the things that have taken place there, and especially in the early days when Joseph and all of those young men who were involved in the restoration movement and the things that transpired there were truly inspired of God. And you know that you're standing in the place where the Lord has been. The priesthood met a few hours before, and we had a prayer circle out in the around one of the trees there. I believe my directions in Ohio probably aren't real accurate, but anyway, I believe that it was on the northwest side of the building there. And as we knelt, and the Lord impressed me that we weren't the first that had kneeled around that tree. And that tree had how many years and how many followers of Christ had been there under that tree and prayed to Him. And some of the experiences that we witnessed there on that trip to Kirtland was just miraculous, to say the least, in fact, one of the ladies that was there during our prayer and testimony service felt like that there were angels surrounding the room. And we had all the little kids come forward, and we asked a special blessing, even as Jesus did when He came here on this continent. And we felt the same way that He felt, or that the Scriptures say, that the angels surrounded about them, and Jesus blessed them, and after that He took them up in His arms one by one and blessed them. So how precious are those little ones. And this morning we had the opportunity, Brother Jim spoke, and once again we were reminded of those little ones and how precious they are. And how our nation has come to a point where their lives are not significant in many, 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 too many places. So It's something that we don't need to dwell on, but we need to stand forth for it. I'm reminded of the scripture in 3 Nephi, 2nd chapter, 3rd Nephi, verse 97. Behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have been called by him to declare his word among his people that they might have everlasting life. And I hope tonight that I'd be able to do that, that I would be able to declare, my God, and how great he is, and how significant each one of your lives are, and that each one of you are an individual specially made by our God. And sometimes we have the feeling that we're not significant, that we're not as good as so-and-so or whatever. They're so much better than we are. But a lesson that I've had to learn in my life is I'm not them. I'm the person that God created me to be. And I might not be making the most of that, but I want to. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to walk with him daily. And I want to love each one of you. And even more than that, I want you to love me. Is that wrong for me wanting you to love me? And that's where that song is, his image in your countenance. I see him in you. I hope you see him in me. God has blessed me so much in so many ways. But as we read in the Doctrine and Covenants in section 2, and this is probably one of my most favorite, I can't say I have a favorite because there's so many of them, but one that I love, as I look at the conditions that we live in and the world that we live in today, Doctrine and Covenants 2, 1 and 2. The works and the designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated. Neither can they come to naught, for God does not walk in crooked paths. Neither does he turn from the right hand to the left. Neither doth he vary from that which he has said. Therefore his paths are straight. His course is one eternal round. Remember that it is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the works of men. For although a man may have many revelations and have power to do many mighty works, yet if he boasts in his own strength and sets at naught the counsels of God and follows after the dictates of his own will and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of a just God upon him. So as we, you know, as we walk during our daily lives, and some of you, fortunately and unfortunately, are still working. And fortunately for me, I've allowed to have a little more free time. But you never know who's watching. Who notices you? Things will come up. People will say something about that you never knew, that someone knew what you did or what you were doing or whatever. So many times we get caught up, and I know how many times that I have been caught up myself, in myself. Searching and seeking and reaching out always for something more. And it took me a long time when I've mentioned in other times that Noni's dad was pastor in the Camas branch. It seemed like forever. I think if you added them all up, it was probably 18 years. Can you imagine being a pastor for 18 years? Anyway, he was, and what a tremendous man that he was, and what a blessing he was in my life. And the things that I witnessed of him that he probably would not have even known. But him and I worked side by side quite a bit. They had a farm and a lot of timber on the farm, and him and I would work together. After they cut the timber off, then they'd dynamite the stumps, but we'd blow them to bits. And so, you know, for a young guy, 20 years old, it was fun. Oh, you know, and the things flying in the air. But I learned how to blow stumps anyway. We put a few sticks of dynamite in and head for a place that was undercover and blow that stump out. But here he was in his, you know, I was probably in my early 20s, and Pa, I always called him Pa, he was in his 60s, but he could work circles around me. I was so tired I couldn't hardly walk when it come time that evening. But he was a hard worker, but I don't know, what did your dad have, a sixth grade education, did he go? He wasn't well educated, but he studied hard, and his favorite scripture was, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you, even as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not." And how many times, you know, has the Lord tried to gather us and put us under his wings, but we didn't listen. You know, and I talk of the scripture I read about, if any man lack knowledge, let him ask it of God, who will deliver to you the wisdom that you need. And the trouble is, we don't ask. And so often, if we would ask, we probably wouldn't get in the trouble that we get into at times. We always want whatever we want, and we want it now. And so many times we get in trouble because of that, because we don't want to wait and listen and talk to the Lord about what it is that we're about to do or what we want to do. So many times we say, "Lord, I'm going to do this, bless me," instead of asking, "Lord, should I do this to start with?" And so many times we don't wait. We pray about it, but we don't always wait. And I've been caught in that trap several times, and I've learned some wisdom. And I talked to Steve a little bit after he preached last week, and because I learned it in my lifetime too, that knowledge and education don't equal wisdom. Because, you know, you can be the smartest person in the world and also make some awful dumb decisions. And I've seen that over and over again amongst really intelligent people. So a lot of them end up as alcoholics or drug addicts because of the confusion and because they don't know the Lord. And so we need to know the Lord, and we need to know that we can come to him. And in fact, we're told to come to him and then not run ahead of him. That we need to call upon him and wait for his answer. And sometimes it just doesn't seem to come fast enough, and sometimes it doesn't come at all. And we look at it years later and say, "Boy, am I glad it didn't come. That it did whatever it was that I asked. I'm glad that that didn't happen. And how much better I am because I did not act on that will." And so there was a few times that I did act on that will and got myself in trouble. And so I learned to call upon the Lord. And that, unfortunately, that wasn't too late in life. I was probably in my mid-20s. And the first thing I did was file my tithing statement. And Noni and I were seriously in debt and living from payday to payday, and sometimes that wasn't enough. But we filed our tithing and began to keep our tithing up, and right away things started to change in our life. And we started, I think I've told you this story about I needed a car and I needed it quick, and I went and bought one. And that thing was a pain. It was a lesson learned anyway. And so Dave Ramsey. How many of you guys here know Dave Ramsey? We were doing Dave Ramsey long before we heard about Dave Ramsey, because if we come to the point where we said, if we can't pay cash, we don't buy. And what a blessing that has been, and I think the Lord tells us that we need to not be borrowers but lenders. And since we started that years and years and years ago, the Lord has blessed us continually and allowed us to make other mistakes and not get drowned. I said that because I didn't want you to think I didn't ever make any more mistakes, because I certainly did. But I found the source of strength comes from our Lord, and He's always there. Second Nephi 14, verses 4 to 6. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Isn't that interesting? Feast upon the words of Christ, and they will tell you all things that you should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not. Neither do you knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought to the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show you all things what you should do. So we're not left to wander. And the words of the scriptures are very plain, that we have a God who is willing. And in fact, we have a God who wants to get our attention, who wants us to be successful. He wants us to be able to bring others to Him and make them aware of Him because of the blessings that He brings to everyone who comes to Him. And because each person is significant and God cares for, it doesn't make any difference who we are or what our condition is. The Lord is aware of us and wants us. Another scripture that we're all very familiar with is in Proverbs. And you probably already know, and you can recite it to me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Sometimes things sound pretty good to us and sound very logical. But if we pray about it and we look into it and if we search and call upon the Lord for His answer and His direction to us, those things will be made clear. And one of the keys to all of the things I'm saying to you tonight is that we need to be willing to walk with the Lord. And so we need to learn to trust Him and lean not upon our own understanding, because sometimes things look pretty good from the outside. But until we search the scriptures, until we search the Lord, until we come to our knees on prayer and ask the Lord for guidance and direction in our life, He will be there. In Psalms 27, verse 14, Thou didst say unto me, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't run before the Lord, but wait on the Lord for His decision. Sometimes we say we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we never got an answer. Well, the answer you got was, So, we can depend on the Lord, and when He speaks to us, when He directs us, He will be with us while we are on our journey. And what is our journey? Where are we headed? Where do we want to be? Section 57. Are you already there with me? Section 57. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who has assembled yourselves together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri, which is the land which I have appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints. Wherefore this is the land of promise and the place for the city of Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the places which now called Independence is the center place, and the spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse. Well, that part, I think, as I look around the room, we are in Independence. Some of you guys are out in Sibley, way out in Sibley. Anyway, you're probably close enough. And if you have to walk, it won't be that long. Anyway, the Lord God has appointed, and that's why we're here, isn't it? Why? I mean, some of you were born here and you probably didn't have any choice and never thought about moving away. But we were having a witness weekend, and I've told you this testimony before. Jim Lorenzen was the 70 that was there leading the witnessing weekend. And he says, are you where the Lord wants you to be? Well, as far as I know, here I am. But we as a family began to pray about that. Is this where the Lord wants us to be? And I had never felt like I had been talked to by the under the inspiration of the Spirit before by a man saying, you know, giving me guidance and direction in my life, which I needed at the time, and he gave me comfort at times, but I hadn't heard that voice clearly. I have called you to Zion. Even as I've called you to my holy priesthood, I've called you to Zion. I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. And that was that. You know, since then, I've read that scripture many, many times where he said, I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. But that was kind of new to me at the time. And it was familiar, but it wasn't because I'd memorized it from the scriptures. And one of the things that I had, and you may still be questioning, was, Lord, could you really use someone like me? And so it was hard for me to believe that the Lord would call me to his holy priesthood because I'm very limited, except for I have a capacity to love. And if I was to say that I had any attribute that the Lord could use, and I know I probably got a few other little ones, but that I have the attribute to love and to understand. And as I look at my childhood life and the things that I had to go through, because we lived in poverty. You know, we got a bath once every couple of weeks, and that was in a tub on the floor, and you always wanted to be before the other ones because you never knew what was going to be left in the tub by the time you got there. So, fortunately for me, when I started playing sports in the seventh grade, the schools had showers, and so I got a regular bath. But and people didn't always look kindly on us because sometimes we were a little ragged and torn. But anyway, I just mentioned that because I feel like I went through that so I could have empathy. And that when I went to my first youth camp and I experienced the love of God amongst those young people, something that I'd never felt before in my life. And we sang The Old, Old Path. That was one of the first songs that I learned and was memorized. The old path, and blessed be the tie that binds, and some of those songs that we sang at youth camp. And the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. He's in many, many places as people have gathered to worship today. The Lord seeks to bless His children. He seeks to shine down upon them because of His tremendous love. And once you know and feel the presence and the love of God, you have to love your fellow man. You cannot help but love your fellow man. In the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and this is another scripture that we hear very often, and especially those who have been involved in the work of CPRS, and in fact, it's part of their theme song. It comes from, and you already know, the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of as angels. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That we can depend upon the Lord. And those who wait upon the Lord, they will be blessed. They will be given strength for those things that stands before us. As we look about our universe, and we see all these things that appear to be bad and are bad, but there's a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of good happening. And we need to be prepared. I don't know how many of you were at Brother Mike's Valentine's service that he had here. And you know, and like Mike said here a couple weeks ago, you know, it's no like someday, sometime, somewhere, but it's now 9, not now. It's time. And so we've been relaxed, and we've had plenty of time. We've had time to that we didn't feel like it was all that serious, maybe not happen tomorrow. So, you know, and in my patriarchal blessing, it tells me that I would have an inheritance in Zion. And when I'm 20 years old, that didn't even ring a bell. But 50 years later, 60 years later, it means something that I was told clear back when I was, and I had no thought. I thought someday you guys would have the kingdom set up and we'd just have to come. And didn't realize that we're going to have a part of it, that we would be here for it. And but the Lord knew 60 years ago. Now how about, where am I? Yeah, that's right. I can't tell if I'm 60 or 80, but actually I'm 81. But anyway, the Lord has tremendously blessed us and given us, to tell you the blessings and the things that the Lord has given us and how much we've been blessed because we sought to serve Him. And that's been our only goal. We stopped many years ago searching for riches. The Lord has blessed us anyway. And compare, certainly never in my when I was a little guy, could I ever imagine what the Lord was going to do and how He was going to bless our lives. And one of the greatest blessings is in our lives today is you guys. Every one of you is a blessing to us. And we love you. And there's just no way that we can express how much that is. In 1966, somewhere in there, I had a really good job, too good a job. I was doing too good a job, actually. And there was a position opened. Now, we talked about this in class this morning a little bit, sort of tied into that. And, you know, while I got you present here and you can't get away, I'm going to tell you about it. See, anyway, the promotion came up and I didn't get it. And I was very confident. I knew that I could handle the job. But the problem was, is I was doing too good a job where I was at, and they didn't want to lose me for where I was at. And so what did old Smarty do? I quit. They didn't get me either place. And about a year and a half, I built a house next door, and I built a church. I built the church in Camas. Yeah, we built a new church there, and I was the manager contractor that built the church. They paid me for 40 hours a week, and anybody that would come, I stayed until nobody else come, and then I could go home. And that was an interesting experience. Working with all volunteer help, and I never forget when we poured the foundation. I had this guy; he just loved it. He come and he followed me around like a kitten. And so I told him to take this vibrator, And when we start pouring the concrete, you know, start working the vibrator, and first I'm going around, and he's in the same place. He hasn't moved. He's down there, and he busted the corner. I mean, he vibrated so long in the corner. But anyway, we got the building built, and unfortunately, that building is. And so I don't know who bought it, but anyway, the church died there. So you have a few of those things that are in your past that the Lord used you. Anyway, after my short time of working for myself and getting not listening to the Lord, there came a program called Modern Security. So I was going to get rich. You know, and it was basically a plan where you sold savings plans. That was the, but it was basically just insurance. And that didn't work out, and things were getting tough. I'm going to get to the point here in a minute. But anyway, I had to get a job to make some money because we had stretched our as much as we could. And so I went to a local next town over, and I interviewed for a job. They were looking for a machinist. And so I interviewed with them, and I was driving home down the main street between highway between Camas and Vancouver. And because when I left, I got mad at those guys because they wouldn't promote me. I'd never go back to work for those people. And as I'm driving home down that highway, the Lord said, "You can eat your pride. Go back." So I drove straight there. And I walked in the personnel office. And the personnel manager was sitting there. He says, "Hey, Ray." He says, "What's up?" I said, "I need a job." He said, "When can you go to work?" And so that's how the Lord works. So I went home and was talking to Noni about what had happened that day. And the Columbia Machine, which was the town, one job a little place away, they wanted me to come to work on swing shift that day. And I got a little bit later. The company that I had worked for before, they called me and said they wanted me to come in the next morning. And so I had two jobs. And he said that he wanted me to come in as a specialist, which would have been a cut below a journeyman. And I said, "Well, Columbia Machine called me, and they want me to come in this evening as a journeyman." He said, "Well, you can't very well come to work here as a specialist then, can you?" He said, "Well, you come as a journeyman tomorrow." But anyway, to shorten this story up a little bit, the company, after a few months, I went to work in a different division where I originally worked. They sold that division. It was a sander division where we made big plywood sanders. And they sold that, but they didn't sell me with it. And they asked me if I wanted to go into engineering. The job I quit because they wouldn't give it to me. But a couple years later, they sold the company and kept me. And I moved into engineering. And I was very blessed. And it wasn't that I didn't deserve it, because I went to school most of my life, work days or work nights. Went to school while I had time off, so it wasn't that I was asking for pie in the sky. I knew what they were doing. So, but that's just sometimes to round that off. And why did I tell you that story? Is because the Lord. It doesn't always happen right now and right when you want it to happen, and things may change in your life and back and forth. When I worked down at Erickson, I was concerned I wasn't particularly happy with the job. It was below me. And I'm walking down the aisle, going back to our shop. And the Lord said, don't worry about it, I've got it. I didn't know what that meant. But I've got it, it's okay. And some of you know, I later went to work at Marion Labs, and what a blessing that was. It was a tremendous blessing to us. And I add all that because always for years and years and years now, the first thing in our hearts and our mind is the work of the Lord. When I left Marion Labs, I had opportunities to, I could have stayed there. They were changing my job, and because of the pressure that I had 18 people and a $2.5 million budget, and of course, different. That can cause you some stress. If you got 18 mechanics, they're all kind of high strung anyway, and I had just keeping them out of trouble was half of my job. But anyway, the Lord blessed us, and when they offered me a package if I wanted to leave, I didn't ask what the new job was. I just said, I'll take it. And it was quite, Noni didn't want, she wanted me to get out because, you know, I was taking 15 Advil a day, and, you know, it was just really high stress because you had the people out on the, of course, a million of that money was probably used for labor, for the guys' salaries, but I had to buy parts for the rest of the place, and I would replace like parts, but if they wanted something new or upgrade, they had to pay for it. So you can see the friction. This is not what we had. This is what you have. And so the Lord blessed me by letting me out at a pretty good price. So we've been blessed tremendously, and all of that happened because we were waiting for His guidance and His direction, and learn not to jump. So what a blessing it has been. And again, I come back to I remember this morning the scripture that Bob read about the refiner's fire. And having the image of the Lord in our countenance, and that's where we are. We need to be shining examples, shining as silver, of a person whom the Lord has blessed, and willing to share our testimony, and to share our love for those round about us. And it's easy for me to love you guys, but there are some people that it's not always that easy to love. But we're supposed to love them anyway. And how many times have I been reminded that so if I have a problem with something or someone, the Lord loves them too. And to be able to forgive them, I could tell you some pastor stories, but I won't go there either. But what the main message is: if you lack wisdom, ask God. He will guide you and direct you. He will bless you. He will lift you up, and He continues to love you no matter what.